What's going on, people? Welcome to Paint Points. As usual, I'm your host, Jake Painting. This podcast is proudly brought to you by the SB Nation Podcast Network and the Canis Hoopers family. Today, we are back with another post-game wrap. Unfortunately, it is after another Minnesota Timberwolves loss. They went down 125-122 in overtime to the San Antonio Spurs. It's not quite the blowout that we've got used to over the last month or, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, but it was another loss. And if you haven't listened to these post-game podcasts before, you won't know that we just go through the good and the bad and you know, I hit on a couple of notes in either column there. We always start with the bad and end the pod on a positive note, and that's, I'm just getting straight into it. That's the first thing that I wanted to mention as a negative note, and it's pretty simple, but this team just keeps losing, and no amount of moral victories are ever going to stack up to an actual real victory. Tonight was clearly better. It was nice watching a fourth quarter and an overtime period that actually had some meaning and some competitive spirit to it, but it's a loss nonetheless. And in some ways, it's almost as frustrating as the previous blowouts, because this one was absolutely winnable and it felt like it could have been a shift to a different mentality around the team. It's only one game, but three wins and six losses sounds a lot better than two wins and seven losses, and that's just how it is. And Minnesota will be kicking themselves tonight that they let that one get away from them. I think, like, this could be wrong, but I think I'd suggest that Towns is out tomorrow on the back-to-back against the Spurs again, and we know how this team plays without him. So, you know, you can almost pencil in 2-8 heading into the back-to-back against the Memphis Grizzlies. 2-8 in the tough West is almost certainly death to the playoff hopes, or at least, you know, they're on their deathbed, and it's getting dangerously close to death to the 10th seed hopes just to get into the play-in games. So it really was a tough one tonight. I think there was a lot more positives than there have been over the last few, you know, 6-7 games. I think that there was also some things that really needed get ironed out, but it was just a tough one to lose, and I think one that Minnesota will probably be kicking themselves that they lost for a little while. Moving on to the second negative note, and for me that was the coaching tonight. I've been more critical of Ryan Saunders' coaching on Twitter probably than I have here on the podcast, but tonight it's damn near impossible for me to overlook Saunders' night, to be honest. To be fair, he isn't the first guy, and he certainly won't be the last guy to get out-coached by Greg Popovich. Clearly, you know, a Hall of Fame coach, one of the greatest to ever do it, and not someone who you should take any shame in being out-coached by. But on the other hand, there was some glaring, obvious mistakes from Ryan tonight that really dug the Wolves a hole. Obviously, the most important one and the most obvious one is that last play of the game. And no, I'm not absolving Anthony Edwards of any blame there. Turning down the semi-open three-point shot to drive the seam and try to kick to another shooter was a boneheaded rookie mistake, and one that could easily have been avoided. But you've just got to take a timeout, man. Like, you don't need to put Ant in that situation. Not when Towns, Russell, and Beasley are all on the court and all still in the backcourt pretty much with virtually no chance to be involved in a three-point shooting action. To me, that's simple coaching basics. I understand that some have opposing views to that, and I think that there's good points to be made about, you know, the points per possession in transition rather than after timeouts, and the fact that having Rubio and Russell on the floor allows you to get out quick out of rebounds and get into good actions. But I just think that when you have the fourth quarter evidence of what a Russell and Towns pick and roll or pick and pop can produce, you know, you have to go back to that. You have to find a way to be able to get back to that, and that way was to run a time to call a timeout and to run that straight at a timeout with around 10 seconds left. You saw Russell thread that bounce pass to Towns for that huge three in regulation, and then straight after that, Russell calls his own number off a ball screen and hits that big three to virtually, you know, send the game into overtime after DeMar DeRozan hit a couple of free throws after that. maybe the final play of regulation was on Saunders' mind, because that was the very basic double drag into a Towns pop that crumbled when D'Angelo Russell essentially rejected the screen and kind of threw the whole play for a loop. But more often than not, that Towns and Russell screen action is going to come up with a good look, or at least it gives you a good chance to get a good look, especially as a three-point shot for Towns. And if not, you know, when a defense collapses onto Towns, he can move the ball in that kind of swing action. So I just think call a timeout. That's pretty much the bottom line here. Is I'm not sure why Saunders didn't call a timeout. I don't know why he allowed a team that's been notoriously unorganized this season to try and win a game off their own back and without structure in place for them. And then, I don't see the logic in it. I know some do. I don't blame anyone for seeing that logic, but personally, I can't get there. Outside of that, I think, Juancho Hernan Gomez played far too many minutes again tonight. Obviously, Hernan Gomez himself is a pretty big problem right now, and, you know, some of that isn't on Ryan Saunders. Like, Hernan Gomez has had one good game out of the 9 that they've played, and that's just not good enough. No matter the contract, no matter that he got $21 million over the offseason, obviously that does play a big part when we discuss it, but nonetheless, he hasn't been good, irrespective of contracts. And I understood at the start of the season, Layman and Juancho was kind of their only options at the 4 there, but with the emergence of Jared Vanderbilt, I just don't get why you're riding Juancho for an 8-minute stretch in the 3rd, where he was disastrous on both ends the entire time, and then you sub him back into the game a few minutes into the 4th quarter. I know they ended up going small not long after that, but that was probably because they just couldn't survive at all with Juancho on the floor. And I just don't get it. Vanderbilt plays 12 minutes on the night. He brings the same energy and the same, you know, non-box score mentality as he always does. But he has 11 minutes less than Juancho, who looked no threat to impact the game. As a scorer, as a defender, as a playmaker, no energy as usual, and just a really sour note on a game that I thought was pretty well played by most players out there. If we're being honest, I think there's some minor areas around the margins where Saunders was pretty bad as well tonight, but I think I could probably ramble on forever about some of the things he's done wrong this season and specifically tonight, but we'll move on to this third negative note. And this was a bit of a niche one, I think, and that's, I have written in front of me is Jared Culver's wandering hands, which kind of is a strange little heading for this. But all in all, I thought Culver played pretty well tonight, especially on the offensive end. He's clearly stuffed that 3-point shot away for good, and for better or worse, he only plans on taking them when he's wide open. But Culver cuts well, and his craft and finishing around the rim seem to be improved a ton from last season. He puts his body into guys and gets that little flip shot off. He had the one tonight where he kind of got a guy on his back and pump faked and got them to foul and got the ball up on the rim and almost had the hoop and the harm. That's really crafty veteran moves that took him a little bit of time to get under his belt and to really master, and I thought he's been good with that. But I'm not here to talk about the good things, really, when I talk about, you know, Jared Culver and what bothered me tonight, and that's that with the Cody out, he's the guy they have the most trust in to guard initiators and to guard wings and big scoring wings. Tonight it was DeMar DeRozan, and the same problem cropped up for Culver. He's far too handsy and far too reactionary on these tough covers. DeRozan had 38 points tonight, torched Culver, torched everyone pretty much that got in his way, but it's Culver who has the responsibility to at least make him work a little bit harder. And I know it's not easy to match up with these scoring genius type of wings, but Culver is making it so much harder on himself by constantly trying to force a turnover rather than just force a tough shot. In the end, it leads to fouls and to free throw trips, and it's that swipe down on the arm and trying to knock the ball away when when DeRozan or whoever is driving, rather than just staying in front of him and trying to make him make a tough look. And sometimes DeRozan and any other really good wing in this league is going to make those shots, but he's definitely going to make free throws. And tonight he just swiped down on DeRozan far too often, including the one at the end of regulation that tied the game and sent it into overtime. DeRozan finished with 13 free throw attempts, which is just way too many freebies. Before tonight, Culver had his hand caught in the cookie jar relentlessly against Jamal Murray, Bradley Beal as well. I think Culver has all the makings of a really good point of attack defender, but he needs to find some discipline when defending these guys when they're driving. The team says, you know, solid is enough defensively, right? Well, solid is staying in front of someone and getting a hand up in their face, and we know Culver can do that. Trying to pry the ball away every time and trying to make that home run play, that's not solid. That's the Hail Mary. You can't run the Hail Mary every time down. Culver needs to be better in that area. He really does. I think tonight it was very obvious that it's a little bit of impatience. I think he wants to make that winning play, and I love that. I love that he wants to make the winning play because he hasn't been great this season. He's been better than last season, but he's a, you know, sixth overall pick. He wants to live up to that reputation. But on defense, especially in clutch time against great scorers who know how to get to the line and who know how to put defenders in jail, you can't be reaching, you can't be swiping down, you can't be trying to smash the ball away out of someone's hands, or else you're going to have opponents dropping 35 on your head every night. And that's what Beal did. That's what Murray did in that first game against Denver. That's what DeRozan did tonight. It's a nitpicky thing, I think, but it's also something that has been building up in my mind for multiple games now. I just don't think that's good enough from Culver. And I know Cody will be back shortly, and he will probably take most of those really hard matchups, but Culver's still going to be out there and having to guard guys who want to drive and who are looking to exploit handsy defenders. And he needs to be better. He needs to find some discipline and really, you know, lock in on just being solid. Let's have a quick little break, and then we'll get into the good stuff of the night. Definitely more good stuff tonight than there has been previously, so hoping for a little bit of fun there. All right, we are back. Pain Points Pod post-game wrap, and we're into the good stuff of the night. And obviously, it was still a loss, but there was one thing that stood above the rest tonight as a prevailing positive, and that's Karl-Anthony Towns. First, it was great to see Kat announced to play tonight, even more so in hindsight after he said that he was told by doctors that he was going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Then it was great to see Kat on the floor smiling and laughing to start the game. And throughout the game, he seemed to have a smile on his face a lot, which is obviously something that we haven't seen a lot from him. I don't need to tell you guys that are listening to this what he's been through and overcome these past 12 months. So just seeing him having fun playing basketball is extremely dope to me. And lastly, and more importantly, it was damn good just seeing Karl Towns out there balling out, man. To be honest, I think he was balling out at a level that I don't think he's ever reached before previously. He finishes with 25 points, 13 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks on 9 of 17 from the field and 2 of 3 from behind the arc, but his presence goes so much further than just those gaudy numbers. He played 3 games this season, obviously, and I don't think his defense has ever been as good as it has for these 3 games. It's absolutely a notch or 2 or 3 or 4 above what we've come to expect from him. That was no different tonight. He was very active, but more importantly, very disciplined around the rim. He gets the 3 blocks to satisfy that box score hunger, but he affects countless shots and does it all while staying in position when he needs to and making every effort to grab a rebound to end defensive plays, which I bang on about so often, and how important it is to get rebounds. Minnesota out-rebound San Antonio tonight, which has got to be, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's got to be one of the first times they have all season. It ended 53-48 Minnesota's way. They just haven't been able to get rebounds without Towns. Naz Reid's not a prolific rebounder like Cat is. So it was great to see that. And then offensively, he's just so impactful. He worked LaMarcus Aldridge in the post all night, whether it was probing the middle and hitting those soft little baby hooks, whether it was spotting up out of the pick and pop actions for triples, or whether it was demanding double teams out of the post and finding shooters. He was elite in every aspect tonight. There's a reason why Malik Beasley, you know, outside of just being an occasional flamethrower that can go off at any time, Malik Beasley has a season-high 29 points tonight. And that's because Towns' gravity is a godsend for him. Beasley was often the pressure valve shooter that benefited from Towns' post-ups, or just someone who found space in a five-out offensive set because Towns was just constantly drawing attention from more than one defender. I just think that tonight you saw exactly what Minnesota miss without Towns, especially offensively. They obviously had major defensive issues without Towns, but they were also 24th in offensive efficiency. So it's not like they were still cruising offensively. They were struggling on both ends. And what Towns brought you tonight was obviously the still surprising injection of defensive presence, but the very much expected injection of offensive presence. And whether he's scoring, even when he's just standing there at the top of the key and he doesn't touch the ball, what Towns does is open up the floor for everybody else. And that's exactly what he did tonight. You saw it from the first minute, how much more free-flowing the offense was. And then, you know, the trickle-down effect is that D'Angelo Russell can have 16 points on 17 of 22 shooting, and it doesn't completely derail the team. They obviously want Russell to play better. I think he needs to play better. He hit some massive shots. He hit that huge three to take the lead late in the game. But what Towns does is allow D'Angelo Russell to be a second option. And second options are allowed to have quieter nights, and the team can still compete. And that's what Russell did tonight, and the team honestly probably should have won. And that's because just Cat was just everywhere. The passing out of the post was so good. He's taken another step, big step, as a passer. After he took a big step last season. So I thought that was really impressive. I just think that Towns opens up so much for this team, and it's just so nice to have him back. As I said, I'd be surprised if he plays the back-to-back. He looked like he was in pain tonight. He was clearly pushing through the pain. I think you can put those Towns' soft narratives to bed right now, if you hadn't already. But when he does come back and when he starts to play every game and starts to play more consistently and some of that pain starts to go away, he's going to be a beast, man. And I just hope that they haven't fallen too far behind in the standings for him to make an imprint on this season and in this Western Conference. But yeah, to put a bow on it, I just love Towns' game tonight, and I've loved each of his three games thus far this season. It's a different Cat, and it's a better Cat. Moving on, point number two for the positive side. Keeping that big man theme going, I thought Naz Reid was a huge factor in Minnesota being able to stay afloat tonight, and especially while Towns rested, obviously, playing the backup five. I feel like I talk about Naz a lot here, but I really do think that the bigs are super important on this team that clearly emphasizes small ball. Naz only played 16 minutes, which I think is around perfect for him. It allows him to come in and do what he does and flash the shooting and a bit of the playmaking and the finishing, you know, and that crisp footwork. But it allows him to do that without being overexerted or forced to bang against starting caliber centers. In those 16 minutes, he dropped 16 points, 7 boards, 3 blocks on 6 of 8 shooting and 3 of 4 from behind the 3-point arc. Even with Towns injured and laboring, there's still a pretty clear drop-off in, you know, energy and effectiveness when Cat takes a breather. And tonight, this team was able to stay in the game because Naz backed him up by just breathing fire into the game. I thought Reid did a pretty good job. A pretty poor job in Cat's absence in the 6 games that Cat missed. And a lot of that has to do with him being a second-year player who went undrafted, and it was only 18 months ago, and now he's a starting center against really good guys and guys who are just way more experienced and stronger and better than him every night. But tonight, he reminded us why the front office and the coaching staff, they love him, and they love him especially when he's in that optimal role as a backup five. His shot seems to be finding its feet a little bit, which is a good thing. He's talked all season that he hasn't felt the rhythm on his three really at all. Tonight, like I said, 3 of 4, the shot looked crisp, it looked clean. Obviously helps when he's getting set up and got a few really open looks from good ball movement. He's also made huge strides athletically, obviously, which has allowed him to be a better rim protector, and his all-round feel for the game and defensive IQ seem to be getting better literally by the game. You can almost see them growing as he goes through the growing pains and he experiences more things, and as he's thrust into more pick-and-roll defensive coverages, it's just, I think he's a quick learner, Nas, which maybe isn't something that I expected coming into the season. So I'm excited to see Nas in this 15 to 18 minute backup role, and I think tonight was a really good step in that direction. All right, point three before we get out of here. That was, this one might be a bit controversial, but I was really impressed with Anthony Edwards' mentality and perseverance tonight. He was bad in that first half. I think there's no two ways to put it. They were his worst minutes as a Wolf in that first half. It was a half that was littered with bad shot selection, turnovers, and some straight-up ball hogging, man. Like, he just seemed like he was intent on dropping 15 first-half points, and that, you know, came at the expense of smart shots and at getting looks for other players and at running an effective and efficient offense. And I think for many young players, a half like that can kind of demolish their confidence and really write them off for the rest of the night, either in the way that he just keeps pressing and keeps trying to do the wrong things in order to get himself going a little bit in the box score, or in a way where he just goes into his shell and, you know, you kind of get a little bit of that Jarrett Culver disease where when things aren't going right for him, he compounds it by not being aggressive anymore and not trying to do the things that he's being told to do. And that's the thing with Ant, is that his confidence is in what he does and in his abilities is one of his best traits. And credit where credit's due to Ryan Saunders. He does a really good job of letting the leash loose and then tightening it up when he needs to, when things start to go awry for Ant. Tonight, I thought he did a good job of that. Instead of gluing him to the bench or sticking him up in the corner where he's not going to get a touch again for the rest of the night, Saunders goes back to the well in the third quarter when Ant comes back in. He obviously makes the crucial mistake at the end, Ant, in the second half, but I thought he was brilliant before that. He started it by coming off screening actions and getting downhill to create his own looks at the rim. Then when the defense started crowding him and trying to take those shots away, he just started making plays for others. He started taking what the defense gave him, and that was the drive and dish to Nas at the top of the key for a wide open look, and then the drive and dish to Nas in the corner for a wide open look for a huge three. As I said, Nas has been struggling a little bit with his three-point shot this season, and I'm sure that makes him feel good. I'm sure he's probably going to, you know, buy Anthony Edwards dinner tonight, because there's no better way to get your three-point look going by getting two wide open shots from really good plays. And I thought Edwards had one or two more that won't go down as assists because of missed shots, but he was really smart about his passing. And to his credit, after that, he didn't stop shooting. He could have, and maybe probably should have, after that first half. But he has that elite scorer's mentality. He attacks the rim on numerous occasions in that third and fourth quarter. Then he hits the huge three late in regulation that just shows that clutch gene's definitely evident in him. And then, you know, the last play happens. And I'm gutted for Ant that he fluffed that last play, because for the mental fortitude and the very non-rookie approach to a bad start, I would have been thrilled to see him rewarded with another clutch play, or at least, you know, with something that's not going down as a crucial turnover. But nonetheless, I was impressed again with Ant, and there hasn't been many times this season where I haven't been. And that doesn't mean I think that he's a superstar, or that he should be getting more minutes, or that he should be, you know, in the starting lineup, because honestly, I don't think any of those things. But I'm impressed by him, and he continues to exceed my expectations for what I thought would be a really, really rough rookie year as he learnt the ropes of the NBA. And tonight he definitely learnt some ropes of the NBA. He won't make that mistake again where he drives the seam instead of, you know, just shooting that three or dunking the ball and getting the ball back after free throws. Like, he won't make that mistake again. I think I'm more frustrated with Saunders in that sense than Edwards. Obviously, Edwards was a goofy play, but, you know, these things happen. And I think that because of this, that mentality and that perseverance that I spoke about, it's not going to derail Anthony Edwards. He's not going to come in next game thinking about how he lost last game for the team or how, you know, he's worried about getting a turnover or worried about doing the wrong thing. Like, Anthony Edwards is just oozes confidence. If you've heard him in a press conference or in an interview, you know that he oozes confidence. And I just think he's going to walk into the next game with the exact same mentality that he has had all this time, and that the turnover at the end of the game isn't going to bother him. And that's huge for this team, and I think that's what you need from rookies. As I said, we saw that with Culver, where that's really been a problem, that when the confidence issues start to seep into his head, it kind of just sends him a bit, you know, off the radar and off the rails, and he can't kind of seem to get back on those rails and to start playing well again for 3-4 games. So I'm impressed with Ant. I'm impressed mainly with that mentality, and I think that as much as tonight sucked, especially the way it finished for him, I think he'll be fine. And I do think the Timberwolves are heading closer to find themselves. Still not there yet, but hopefully Towns plays in this game. I'm sure if you're listening to this, the game's probably tonight for you. Hopefully they can beat the Spurs, but at least get one or two against Memphis and kind of snap this losing streak here and get things back on track here, because tonight definitely looked closer to normal. It looked closer to competitive, and as D'Angelo Russell says, I think tonight they learned how to lose. They learned how to be in games and compete, and soon enough, I think those tight losses like tonight will turn into wins, and hopefully that's sooner rather than later. So, as usual, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for listening to my ramblings, and hopefully next time we talk, it'll be after a Wolves win. Peace.